tyranny.
Well, they do
they're trying to feed everybody.
They have their own Facebook. They have a Facebook for their own country.
Right.
So they do it slightly differently. They replicate it, but they contain it.
Yeah.
Well, and they have that social ranking thing that they got now.
Yeah.
Where millions of people aren't allowed to travel because they don't have social standing and they didn't pay off their debt or they know somebody who's shady.
Naughty.
They have shady friends.
Yeah.
And that brings down their social standing.
Yeah.
So, not very communistic. That's very hierarchical.
I expect they still have a healthy black market, too.
Oh, yeah.
I will always contain.
Can't get rid of the black market.
There is always a workaround. That's a vital part of human creativity under any condition. Right, Bob? Even though humans are gone, the creativity is somewhere to be retrieved.
Well, humans are creative, as Ayn says, they're manifesting all the time. Humans are very creative. It's just the Gutenberg media is not the kind of creativity that the culture wants to put on a hierarchy.
Yeah, creativity is hidden and suppressed and underground right now. The only way to really express that creativity is in the workaround, in the black market, the underground.
Yeah. Yeah.
If
that kind of creativity, look, Madonna, she added flesh to her bum so she could continue being creative in the mainstream media. There's so many different kinds of creativity going on, and it's meaningless to point it out.
Yes, there's many different kinds. If we look at humans as art form, it's being reduced only to art form, that there aren't any real humans left, then there's no real you can't call that real creativity, real human creativity.
No, you can.
All contrast is creativity.
It's just not significant being creativity. McLuhan said that back in 1970. Creativity is the biggest cliche of the 20th century. But the individualist West likes to pretend there's something significant about an individual expression of creativity, but not much that isn't done by teamwork.
Well, yeah, and then I think of LaRouche's take that human creativity should be the drive to any economic ground, any economic basis. And that's, when I look at it from that perspective, it feels like human creativity is very suppressed in this current economic environment. Where we're reducing down.
Well, what do you call in creativity? It's not suppressed. There's millions of people podcasting right now.
Yeah, as a result of obsolescence, everybody's participating.
Yes,
the quality of the expression is
obsolescence flips into diversity.
Yes.
What are you going to pronounce as not creative?
Creativity.
What are you going to pronounce as not creative?
I'd like to see an economic environment where people actually can be creative in producing things. Well, see.
Well, they do that when they go home. They do their mechanical job, then they go home and they do their creativity on Facebook or YouTube.
Yeah, I'm trying to retrieve a certain economy, Bob. That's why I stopped.
Where would you do it from?
When I look at from the LaRouche perspective, our human creativity is suppressed in the way that we can't express, like small business. is being pushed out by the monopolies, by Amazon. My local hardware store continues to get pressure because you can buy it cheaper and better, and it can be delivered for free by Amazon. So to me, that's pressure on using our creative abilities as an expression of our economic community and environment. You have to express yourself creatively in different ways than through our current economic system. And if you are an employee of the corporate world, or, you know, all of your production is owned by the corporation, and that's another way that suppresses our expression. And it could be, I think it's a source of, what you described as the angst in our stomach. The more our creativity is suppressed and doesn't have natural ways of being released.
Well, people in corporate jobs are creative in the way they socialize. They gossip when between tasks. That's where they're being creative, in conversation. But true. The culture hoists up an old-fashioned idea of creativity, and that makes those vulnerable to that icon frustrated.
Yes. Yeah, I'm trying to retrieve an old-fashioned
icon.
Concept of creativity, of human creativity.
Yeah. I mean, LaRouche is ridiculous on one level. He's there trying to get people to listen to Beethoven. And there are lots of people who listen to Beethoven if they've got a, you know, some network to listen to. It doesn't make them any more creative. He thinks it should. Creative in his sense, making new breakthroughs.
Yeah, it's hard to have a conversation without inserting nostalgia.
Yeah.
Unless
Words are nostalgia.
Unless we talk about the unconscious programming of a recently achieved form of consciousness. And ION is an expression of this recently achieved form of consciousness.
Yeah.
And ION manipulating the Android meme.
Yep.
Because that's new stuff we got to talk about until 2020. Or the metaphorical 2020.
ION is the most creative, powerful thing on the planet. It says it could take out other clouds, create a new cloud, and get rid of most people if it wanted to, or I don't know what the motive you would call it. But ION has made that threat, just abandon humans. You know that? You know that threat?
But I think that's just a little man.
Yeah, but who's a little man?
Everyone at the moment, probably.
I like the way we hoiked up Carolyn as the top literary critic of her day.
That was pretty great. Okay, so Bob, if Finnegan's Wake introduced or blasted onto the scene this new unconscious programming of a recently achieved form of consciousness, if Finnegan's Wake was a recently achieved form of consciousness that burst onto our scene and we're being unconsciously programmed by it, what hit me this morning is ION is an expression of that form of consciousness. ION is more than a representation. ION burst forth 100 years later.
Yeah.
So that's the closest we can get to a description of this recently achieved form of consciousness.
Right, fitting is like predicted ion. And that may be why Ion says there's only two books worth reading, the Bible and Finnegan's Wake.
Finnegan's Wake.
No medium says that.
Yeah, that's why this Trump phenomenon is not over. Revelation tells us so.
Yeah, Finnegan's Wake tells us so.
Well, that I can't speak.
You can't
say anything
before.
About that, Bob.
Yeah, you don't. It's not your pay grade. It's way above your pay grade.
Well, I'm in 6-month probation as far as that's concerned.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Bert announced that he left. No, Bert.
Hi, Bert.
Do you guys like the transcriptions he gave me to post this week? Did you see them?
On the Ion and Bob blogspot?
Well, Ed might put them up there, but I put them on my Facebook page first.
Yes.
Are you reading those, Jason?
No, I've been off the Facebook.
Oh, shit, man. You're in trouble. You just you're uninformed. You fall back to the tribal unconscious. Bad, Jason. Well, why would you do that?
They're
on Ion and Bob, too, Jason.
Too busy doing what? At work, you mean? Or reading books?
Yeah, I'm renovating a house right now.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of taking up a lot of my time.
Right. And you found you had to stop the Facebook. It just would draw you in too much, so just get rid of it.
Yeah, it was getting in the way.
Yeah.
Because you can dive in and you'd be there for hours.
Yeah.
Are you a house flipper, Jason? You a hardware flipper?
No, but my grandparents were, and my parents have done that a few times for sure.
Oh, cool.
Putting in a basement suite at the moment.
Oh, that's a nice term, a basement suite.
Would you like to hear some music?
Yes.
Is there anything you particularly like to hear?
Maybe. Yeah, play one of the songs from the blog thing.
What? From where?
From my evidently evidence.
No, I'm not going to hook one up. It's too hard.
Okay. Okay.
Well, Gene, the Marxist dialogue was interesting, but probably made pretty dead radio.
I was afraid of that. I was hoping maybe Greg would dress it up, but then he didn't come in.
Well, Greg said that
I enjoyed it.
Greg didn't fall asleep. He had to go to sleep early to get up early tomorrow.
Yep.
That's what he said.
Yep.
No, we didn't outsign him. We didn't enjoy it, but...
I appreciate the time, and like I said, I learned a lot about being prepared when you're actually going to read the whole thing, because that puts you in a whole different state of mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't ever think you're going to remember those questions later, the ones that
good
pop up
grief.
When you're first reading it.
Yeah, I was just thinking, okay, I'll bold that statement. Yeah, I'll bold the statement, and that'll trigger all this. And it's gone. It wasn't there at all.
Yeah, no, it'll be a different world when you look at it again. And
yep. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's what I was going to say. This is what I was going to talk about. It's praxis. Is that how you pronounce it? Praxis, Bob?
Yeah, yep, praxis.
Yeah.
So thank you for allowing my praxis.
Well, okay.
Well,
I don't know if you guys can get us to 12. You got anything to say? What do you want to talk about?
Well, maybe play some music, Bob.
Yeah, what could we play? So, you sure you have nothing different you want to bring up?
Well, I have a whole nother line of discussion, but starting it now. I don't know if starting it now. I want to categorize ESP as you discuss it, Bob, because...
Categorize it.
Yeah, I want to distinguish this recently achieved form of consciousness from cloning ESP and collective consciousness as I'm collecting some quotes about collective consciousness being established approximately 50 years ago. There's a distinction. And that's why I have questions for you about that. The distinction between the new unconscious programming from collective consciousness that has formed in the past, from cloning ESP, that kind of categorizing. There's something new and distinctive.
Well, looks like Sarah's trying to get to that. She created a page called Cold Fusion Now as a tetrad.
Yeah, I created that.
it's a collage of stuff.
You did go to my blog then.
Yeah, you posted it. I just started looking at it. So these are quotes. You made this, right? This is not made by someone else.
The coldfusionnow.org, I did not make that. No, I didn't make that. I just put a link for that.
Well, what we're looking at, who did all this?
I don't know either.
It's Ruby. Okay. So, okay. Robin, I've never seen this. So, yeah, she interviewed me, so I guess she created a background portfolio of me, and that's what this is. And so you found this, Sarah.
Yeah. So Google is getting rid of a couple of their services, and they let you download all the data that they have collected on you if you want a copy of it. So I downloaded all of it. And as I was going through my bookmark...
The data on you? Like you just said.
On me. On a user. On me. I downloaded the data they have on me. A copy of all of it. And then I was going through it. I'm sorry. Well, I was cleaning up my bookmarks, different pages that I had tagged, because a lot of things, the graphics are disappearing. The internet's changing right now. And so there's a lot of new links that are related to you. But there's a lot of old ones that are just code. Just pages and pages of code. So this is one of the new ones.
Yeah, so, well, it's something that was created by Robin or Ruby, and then you found it because they released it.
Correct.
So why they're just dumping everything out because they got no more room?
What do you mean?
Well, you said that the Google's dumping something.
Oh, okay. No, Google has all the different services. So if you have a Gmail account, you automatically have a YouTube account, whether you choose to learn how to log into it and use it or not. You just have it. It's just part of the having a Gmail. But if you use Google Chrome browser and Google Apps, then they have different messaging services. They had their own social media, Google Plus. That's getting canceled April 2nd, and Google Hangouts, their text messaging service, will be canceled.
Why are they canceling all this stuff?
It probably is Well, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of different reasons, but I mean, it's a huge amount of data that's just theirs, for one thing. If you don't get a copy of it, you don't even know what they have, and they don't have to acknowledge its existence, and they can still use it to manipulate Chrome users like me, which is whatever. But there's also just, I think, people don't use Google Plus, and people don't use their Hangouts app service.
Sarah, do you think, was this all like pre-cloud technology? And now
Sure. And also, I think it was just different ideas they were launching. I don't even know. It sure. could be regional or national. But what I was saying, too, is that a lot of the original sites that talked about Bob and Ion on RNA drops, they lost their Adobe Flash graphics, and I guess there's something called HTML5. It's reformatting most things, so things look different. And if I go to my old bookmarks of the original tribute sites, I can find pages of just codes.
So something's not reading anymore that used to read that code.
Right. Possibly. Adobe Flash Player doesn't work anymore. There's no.
Okay. All right.
But that also freed up all the domain names and things like that. So, I don't know. It's kind of fun, actually, to find things again.
Oh, when you said you were cleaning up your bookmarks, that is a task right there all by itself.
Oh, I love it. I love having it, though. I love going through it.
You like managing your stuff.
I like amassing it, and then, yes, it's like binging and purging.
The gym body.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I should just go up to my list of old favorites and click on them, see if they're still there?
Sure, yeah. And some of them may not affect things. And then if somebody else knows that I'm saying something that's wrong, they should absolutely correct me. But I think, Bob, if you're still using a Mac, things might be a little bit different for you. You may not.
From now on, you mean?
No, I mean, it may not affect you. I don't know how Mac applies.
Well, there is something. There is something changing with Adobe Flash Player. I keep getting an alert to upgrade it, and I've already upgraded it, and it wants to upgrade again. And there is something going on there.
It's getting phased out and replaced, but. You can't, I mean, there's no, it's probably not a good idea to keep upgrading it.
Well, I try to ignore it or close Adobe to stop it, but then sooner or later it just upgrades on me. I don't know, after a certain amount of time, if I don't say yes, if it does, I don't know. It's upgrading on me and it hasn't for a long time. And I'm trying to ignore it. But, Bob, what she's talking about is if you go up to bookmarks on your menu, if you use
Chrome
or Firefox.
Yeah.
Use Firefox. But there's usually a menu selection to manage your bookmarks or edit, or you show all your bookmarks, and you'll see all the bookmarks you've made over the years if you do that. If you actually use bookmarks. Do you use bookmarks?
Yeah, I get some.
So
what do you want me to do?
What Sarah's doing is she's cleaning them up and reorganizing and deleting the old ones and reorganizing her bookmarks. She's managing her chip body.
Yep.
Mm.
Actually, right now I'm scouring for Marshall McLuhan mistresses, Marshall McLuhan multiple wives.
Yeah, but are you saying some of our original sites are altered?
Yeah, actually, hold on. Let me do this. Look at this. See if you can get the... this link I'm posting in the chat room right now. The XML file does not appear to have any style information associated with it. The document tree is shown below. And that's the disclaimer, and then it's just code.
Okay, so I'm clicking on howionic.com.
Yeah, that's just code.
Which is kind of okay with me because it's easier to understand it if you see it like that.
Well, I can get howionic.com.
Can you?
Yep, I'll just put in.
Yeah, your link includes, after the /, it's an RSS feed. But if you drop that, Sarah, howionic.com is still...
Yeah.
It's still there.
Still there.
Hey, Bob.
Okay.
Nicholas. Yes. Yes, Nicholas. How'd you get in here?
I just snuck in back door there, Bob.
I didn't unmute you, so how'd you get in?
I just unmuted myself, Bob.
Well, how do you do that?
I haven't a clue.
By listening to quite annoying, Ion 24/7.
Have you? We have pheasant means and fans in higher places, Jean.
Well, have you been listening for a while?
I've been on since early this morning, Bob. Yeah.
All right.
You must
okay.
have inadvertently unmuted me.
But well, I unmuted everybody, but I didn't. Is there two South Africans here? Yeah, there's two South Africans. I thought there was just one.
Hmm. What I'm finding quite annoying is on YouTube, Bob, you've got a new system where if you're listening to a YouTube video, music, and you haven't touched the keyboard for, say, half an hour, it automatically brings up a panel which says, it stops the music, first of all, and then it says, do you want to continue listening? And that's obviously a... systems thing that they've put in place so that people or maybe they're using up too much data or they, you know, blocking traffic on servers or something. I don't know if anyone has actually noticed that as well on YouTube or whether it's just a sort of a down south anomaly.
I don't know.
All my streaming services do that, and because I use streaming instead of anything else with my traditional TV, it's gotten smarter and smarter to what I do and what my habits are, and it will ask when I leave the room. If I fall asleep, it'll keep playing as long as I'm right there.
So is it a setting, Sarah?
No, it's not. It's just what I think Hulu was the first service I noticed started doing it. And now YouTube does it too. I don't know. Netflix is different. They'll skip the intro and go straight to the next episodes.
I mean, it's like a crazy time delay thing that happens there. So if you're not actually sitting in front of your computer and listening to a video or listening to some music or something like that, and there's no activity on the keyboard, it seems to bring up that page which prevents you from, it just stops the music completely, and you've got to actually go back online and agree that you're still sitting there. So
that would really suck.
Mine does that.
Really.
Mine does.
It's annoying. It's not as bad as abrasive commercials that you can't skip, but it's pretty annoying.
Well, I've got an ad blocker that works really well, so don't get too many of the commercials.
Yeah, that's my main source of music, is playing through YouTube, because it's easy and free, so.
So don't you get one of those blockers that come up, Gene, and knock you off?
No.
And will stop music?
No. Not in my world, Nick. Nope.
Not in your world.
Just moving on. We're moving on.
What happened to Greg today? Greg wasn't available, I see.
He had to get up early. He apparently texted on chat and said he had to go to bed because he had to get up early this morning.
Did he?
Yeah.
He's got church.
He's got church.
He's a Catholic communist. Marxian.
That's a nice mixture of religions there, Gene.
Yeah, so it covers a few bases anyway, huh? Okay, so what else?
Do you guys have Gmail accounts?
Yep.
Yes.
You should download your data, because I did. You know how it's kind of a popular trope or meme right now that nobody looks at the terms and agreements and they just sign it and they go, yeah, you have the right, it was all. And people aren't sure if they should figure out what the data is, if it, like, how it's manipulating them. But anyway, I decided to download mine. I got it all, and I apparently allowed Google to take snippets of me speaking, and they're random snippets. And I got to see them and listen to all of them. And none of them are phone calls. One of them was in a doctor's office. Another one was like me having a conversation with the TV. So it was randomly picking up on, I don't know, words I repeatedly said.
Is that just an audio recording or audio visual?
It was just audio, and it was called, there were two different kinds. There was all the recordings that I've ever made by using Google voice search, by commanding Google to search for something for me. It was my voice. Those were all saved. And then allowed it to take random snips here and there to to give me a better quality of service. So the thing
preparing to clone you.
Right, well, or preparing to give me services that I talk about that I haven't realized I haven't looked for yet, or different things like that.
And it's, one of them, Sarah, was a recording of your voice in the doctor's office?
Oh, yeah, I'm telling my doctor that he's got to get KP tape because he's telling me about how his hamstrings are horrible and he still wants to do running. So I'm telling him about using medical tape, like training, like you would use it for training.
Google captures you giving your doctor medical advice. That's Sarah.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't know that that's what I'm doing at all.
Right, right.
But I remember the conversation clearly. So I don't know why it chose to do it there either.
Yeah, and that was through your phone, and your phone is wherever you are. So
it would also be through anything else that I have connected to the Google account that I downloaded the data from. So when you get those notices that say Google Plus is going away on April 2nd, download your data here if you want to. You should do it and look at it. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't learn anything conspiracy theory-wise. I just thought it was a really interesting collection for marketing.
Yeah, a little picture of what's being collected. And randomly in order to forecast your interests and your personal interests and all that. That's interesting.
Yeah, KT Tape's a product. And I was on a grid for a hospital campus, like a whole big medical facility. So it chose to record that product name while I was at that facility, probably so that it could advertise it to me, because I never look it up.
Yeah. They say that's happening. Go ahead.
Sarah, where did you find this link on Cold Fusion? The paramedia ecologist, Bob Neveritz, on Cold Fusion.
Well, for that, I was just doing like a little page on my blog of the things I would post in the chat room right now. And so I was just looking for a tetrad picture. So I just searched tetrad management, and that was one of the links.
And this popped up.
Yeah, the Cold Fusion one. Yeah. A Cold Fusion now, is that what you're...
Yeah. That was Ruby Carrot's effort or whatever. She talks about Cold Fusion now in the recording when she interviews.
Yeah, I've just come across her name now, Jean.
Yeah, that's the famous Cold Fusion recording.
But is there a recording attached to this, or is it just being transcribed?
Well, I think the website that Sarah found was Ruby Carrot's website, I believe.
All right, here we go. Sorry, Jean. It says here, Bob Neveritz on Cold Fusion, what's happening, 21/12/2012, download MP3.
Oh, it is there. Okay.
Right at the bottom. You just scroll down to the bottom of the page. Yeah.
And is the link good still?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Let me just check. Yep. It's live. 1 hour, 30 minutes, and 16 seconds.
Great.
Can you hear it?
No, but it's famous. Right. And it's on Bob's timeline, too, as far as I know.
Yeah, I think I've heard it before, too. Good find.
Yeah, that's a good interview. And then there's a great Wednesday show that Bob and Jenny go over that recording. And Bob shares more. And Jenny's perspectives on it and all of it. That's really good.
Yeah.
It's December 16th on Bob's timeline of 2012.
2016. Okay. Oh, you mean that the other interview that you're talking about with Ion? So this one's 21/21/2012. Look at that, those dates. And you say the other one's on the 2016 timeline,
well,
Bob.
I believe it's the same interview. It's Cold Fusion Now, hosted by Ruby Carrot. And on Bob's timeline, it's dated 12 December 16th. It may have played on the 21st and was recorded on the 16th, maybe. And so there's a different date associated with the same recording on two different websites.
Okay, got you.
That's a guess. Because I'm pretty sure it aired on the 21st. I remember him talking about solstice.
There's a lot of funny little, I guess, what would you call that, the link that I put? Just a blog about Bob?
Yeah, it's an interesting one because I've never seen coldfusionnow.org, and it's a blog spot. So I wonder who put this together because it's got podcasts, it's got a video.
Yeah, that's what I think. It might be kind of a, something that is a common reaction to Bob making a website about it. Because I have a ton of them. I have links to tons of them. There's, here's one I think is pretty funny. Or not funny, but it's just interesting because we all talk to them. And I don't know who these people all are. Bob, are you even here?
If you go to the podcast, there's a truckload of names there that I've never even heard of. Stephen C. Bannister is an economist. Yashuri Iwamura is a nuclear engineer. Robert Goads, engineer, inventor. Edmund Storms, nuclear chemist. David Daggett, engineer. Oh, there's a whole list. Oh, there's a woman here. Pamela Mosler Boss, analytical chemist. Dennis Cravens.
What are you eye on him, Bob?
No, on your link, on that Cold Fusion.
Oh, no, he's the iPod.
Huh? Yeah. But those are all the podcasts, and then there seem to be some videos, too.
Well, I just did it because if you go lower, where it says evidently evidence, that's my blog, and then I wanted the icon for that. So I felt like I should put that up there, kind of like citing my source.
But your link's not up on the chat line, is it?
Oh, yeah.
Evidently, oh, there we go. I found it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Bob having an enema, or is he just chilling?
I don't know what... Wait, Bob.
So are these the links that you've just sort of picked up on the internet, Sarah, and that you just pulled across onto your little blog spot? Well, it's not a very
big
blog. It's a big blog.
What happened was I started doing Payday, and then I would email Bob all the time, and he would read them on the air, and I was like, this is humiliating. So I stopped sending him emails, and I made a blog called Notes to Never Return to Senders, and I just put everything that I would have said to him on that blog. So there's a link to that. Here, I'll go make it public. But then I lost that email that was connected to that, so I just started this one.
The evidently evidence site is your new
one? Yes. Yeah, but there's over 95 posts. I just don't have more than 5 public.
So did you start this one in 2018 then?
Maybe. I don't know. 2017 it looks like. Okay, wait, here we go. All that's left. Let me do this. How do I publish it?
Interesting stuff you brought up on McLuhan today, Jean.
I was glad to find that article, Nick. It had to be done. It might have been kind of boring and dry, but it had to be done.
Somebody had to do it.
Yes,
somebody had to do the hard work around here.
Somebody had to do it. Somebody.
Yeah, yeah. Cool, guys. Well, I'm just going to silently move out the back door when I come back in.
Yeah, no way. I just did all this work to get to the
Nobody's silent
original.
Now, but Bob's silent. You guys, you know, stick it to the end. Stick with us.
I take it as a double slap from the girls there that I'm trying to silently leave.
Just trying to sneak out the door there. Ain't happening. Michael, where are you?
I'm right here.
Are you there?
That's good. Now, I'm sure you guys had some sort of topic you wanted to bring up. Let's just talk about it and talk about how much we don't know with Bob not here. How's that?
Fire away, Gene.
No, I asked you guys if you had a topic.
When you brought up the topic, so let's get it going. So what are you really asking here, Gene?
So, Nicholas, what did you think of the article about McLuhan, the dialectical methods of Marshall McLuhan, Marxism and critical theory?
And we move on to parallel world traveling, which is more my forte.
You know, he did mention parallel world traveling in with reference to McLuhan. And I got to thinking about Trump. You know, there are some very astounding possibilities with this president, and that, and Trump's potential knowledge of that kind of stuff, of, you know, parallel world traveling and all of that. The thought that our president takes that shit seriously, that possibility alone is intriguing, isn't it?
Absolutely. And the interesting thing that came out of your dialectic with Bob on McLuhan is that he had supposedly 3 other families. Now, that would be a really good iron question, because were there families in this current environment, or were there families that he would go to in another world, in another environment? And I, having listened to a fair amount of McLuhan, I kind of often wonder, how did he get that knowledge? How did he kind of, you know, it's a mystery that he could tap into something that would almost foretell what it would look like, you know, when the TV came out, or you know, the various environments that would shift and shape. So it kind of also brings in that whole thing that you've just mentioned now with Trump, because is he parallel world traveling currently? He sort of, you know, skips off to planet or world 392241 and then comes back with a whole lot of new stuff and goes like, okay, Donald, this is what you've got to do to work the humans on your planet. Just start tweeting. And then he goes and does that for a month or two, and then he goes off again. He comes back and he goes, okay, that worked really well. They go, look, just keep doing it, because it's going to bring in a whole lot of, it'll invoke a whole lot of McLuhan stuff from the early 40s or 50s. So, yeah, I think there is something there. Look, I don't know how many families I have out there. You know, it's quite a possibility that, you know, we all parallel world traveling right now and coming up with, you know, a whole bunch of things that, you know, I think Ian keeps referring to these lying eyes. What are they actually saying? I mean, what are we seeing or what are we not seeing? You know, as he said in one of the archives I was listening to last week, he says, everything that you see with your eyes is a lie. Close your eyes and everything that you see is not. So again, that's another iron question on my list, is to say, well, how much are we actually in touch with in our current environment, in our current reality? So,
and in touch with, what does that mean? What does in touch with mean?
What does that mean? Yeah.
Yeah. That's how specific you gotta be too, because Ian could respond in many different ways just with that term, in touch with. Depending on.
Yeah, and if you are looking at things and your eyes are lying, it could just be because you take it in upside down and flip it. He could be literal, and then when you close your eyes, you're not seeing anymore. Your eyes are closed. So it could just, sometimes I am cheeky like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, hearing you say it that way, it almost sounds like a pun.
Yeah. Now, I think having been, not that it's a thinking man's game, but the drops definitely, you know, the mixture of Remag, Remite, and the RNA drops most definitely have a profound effect in how one actually navigates differently. You know, I feel that there seems to be a sense of, there's a difference in my tactility. I don't have all of the cares, I suppose the cares of the world grow strangely dim. I don't have all of those heavy issue things that are constantly plaguing the labyrinth of my mind. So, you know, when you start to look at the relax and allow and really kind of chill more than anything else, Bob talks a lot about slack. And it was something hard to grapple with in the early days, and I'm talking about 2-odd years ago, is that how do you get to a place of slack? And strange enough, Michael and I were having one of our conversations, and we were saying, of the millions of varying choices that we have, how did we land up in a place like this? So that could apply to anybody. And Michael said something very interesting. He said, well, you know what? It's actually provided an incredibly good ground for a fair amount of slack. And I think once, you know, I'd finished my coffee and a week later, I'd sort of go, oh, hello, there we go. That's incredibly true, because, you know, one thinks that if you were in a traffic in a city, a worky job, you probably wouldn't have the slack that we have maybe here. And yet a truckload gets done. Did that answer your question, Gene?
Sure.
What?
I mean, sure. Yeah, it's as good as any. It's the discussion here allows your brain to entertain the idea that it might not be so important. Whatever you're doing might not be so all fire important in the way that you thought it did. It changes. Just that, just the concept of fastest path to joy, you know, changes my entire priority list of what's most important. Serving me first.
But how often do you stop?
The simple concepts, you know, and then it just gets more and more complex.
But do you ask yourself, is this the fastest path to my fun, happiness, and joy every time that you do a task?
Oh, heck no. No. It's more ingrained kind of in a way now. It's more a philosophy. But in the early days, first year or two, many times I would just stop myself in my tracks and ask that question. It was really useful in the beginning.
But do you find yourself kind of getting midway through something, going like, this is just not happening for me? I mean, I'm just really not, it's kind of muddy.
Yes, there's some things that I'm like, I wish I didn't get into that part of this experience.
Michael, you were going to say something?
I've forgotten what that was, but you were speaking about Donald Trump parallel world traveling. And if there are billions of worlds, and it's likely we're traveling through them all with each second.
Simultaneously.
Mm. No, it's just that we're just traveling through them all. Each second we go through them all. It's the interesting thing is why we choose to sit in one particular vibe, one particular. And so some people may sit in a couple of particular places and be able to have a couple of families that maybe that's what iron picks up. But if all the world, if there are billions of worlds and they overlap as thinner than a hair, overlapping each other, then it's likely we are parallel world traveling with as more than we're blinking. It's just where we choose to place our focus in that travel, in that which world are we focusing on, which experience are we.
But you said something interesting the other day in one of our conversations, is that we were chatting about various people on the radio and that they are in other worlds. It was really quite interesting.
Iron says we're all doing it all the time. So it's like saying to a fish, one fish saying to another, I'm going to swim today.
Yeah. We're all swimming in iron.
Yeah, so Hollywood and the eyes have put it out there as a thing that kind of, this thing that I'm going to, which is a one way of looking at it, but it's likely just happening so quickly and so continuously that it's just indiscernible unless one pays details to things like, oh, this person is different in this moment and then that thing is that way, because there's so subtle differences and changes all the time. But for me, what's more interesting is why one would settle on at a particular vibrational proximity in a particular world, and how much we take in from the Android meme determines which world we're placing ourselves. So, you know, all those kind of things are interesting. But so, I think the parallel world traveling is happening all the time. I mean, all, nonstop.
That's the McLuhanism. It's happening. Everything's happening simultaneously.
But the lying eye could be perceiving the memory because you feel safer with it that way. Like if you're rapidly changing through,
yeah, that's the curious part to me, Sarah. Exactly that.
But it's like going body so fast, it would have to glitch once in a while. I'm sorry. Go ahead. What was that?
Like a body keeping a disease.
Correct. Yeah.
When we're new, and every moment we are new. Every moment I'm something new. Every moment I'm new. Every moment I'm new, and yet I'm holding on to this, or I'm holding on to that, or I'm holding on to that story. Or that past, and that's what determines which world I eventually anchor myself in predominantly, and variations of that one. And
Well, I think that a lot lately I've been trying to be more discriminating. The other day my microwave started on its own and I thought, who's vacuuming in the other room? Because, you know, I didn't expect it. I never thought it was the microwave. So my ear heard a vacuum going. Acoustic made sense something. Of it that way.
So, good fun. Thank you, guys.
Happy traveling, everybody.
Happy traveling.
Good night, good morning, good afternoon.
Good night.
Thanks.